Hey, listeners, just a content warning for this week's episode. We do have mentions of sexual assault and rape, so please listen at your own discretion.
I felt like some sense of clearing after visiting some other life of mine or some other aspect of my soul, whatever you want to call it.
I magicked you.
You magicked me. Ainsley magicked me. I'm all for it. I want to keep getting all magicked up.
Hey, Signal listeners, before we get on with this week's episode, I wanted to take a second and just share a quick personal message with you. Many of you know that I have written a book that comes out in March. It's called Higher Self, Reclaiming the Power of Your Intuition. And you can now pre-order this book anywhere that you buy books. We'll put some links in the show notes. This book is my coaching method to help every reader understand exactly how to access their intuition, to feel that they can tap that inner wisdom, and to ultimately feel fully empowered and dignified as your higher self. So I hope that you will take a minute now and pre-order the book. It will make a great gift for friends and family, especially with the holidays coming up. And it will go a long way in supporting me and showing booksellers that there's excitement, which will help the book succeed in the long run. So thank you so much for taking the time to pre-order. And now on with the show. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we're going to do something fun where we're going to tell each other about our readings with Ainsley MacLeod, past guest of the pod. Bean, are you ready?
Super ready.
Oh my gosh. I miss your face on this screen.
Hello. Do you miss my nun sweater that I'm wearing? I feel like
a
nun. You
look very demure.
Demure.
And you look very... yes. Oh,
check out our YouTube. I'm flashing my sweater open.
Wow.
That's how we're going to get more viewers.
Listeners. Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to open my sweater, my nun sweater.
We took a little break from recording because we went away for some holiday cheer, and now we're back and
we sure are
ready, and we missed each other, although we talked to each other, but it's different. It's different when you're making a podcast together, right?
And we didn't talk that much. Unfortunately.
Bean.
What?
We literally just had a half an hour Zoom the other day.
That was our first connection over the last several weeks. You've been super duper busy. I was away for a while. You were away for a while. In fact, let's just get right into it. That's my delight, shall we?
Okay, let's do it. Tell me about your delight.
Well, it's a delight, and now there's like a little cringe at the end, but I guess like a tinge of cringe, one might say. I went for the holiday, for Thanksgiving break, even though this is coming out a few weeks later, with my family to Mexico City. Olé!
What a great city.
Fell in love, like utterly in love. I'm like in my mind thinking of how I can reasonably get an apartment there to vacation. It's such an amazing city. There is so much to do, like beyond your wildest dreams. There is so much to do. And my kids were medium about it, but I loved it. And then I did return home with a slight upset stomach, like I tend to get when I'm in Mexico. Flashback
you
to
always get it.
Well, when I went with you in how many years ago? 15 years ago?
Yeah.
It was 15.
It was because I was pregnant with Keon.
I got severe Montezuma's revenge in Mexico. Severe. Yeah.
And then you had to get on an airplane.
That was days later, though. It was.
But you still weren't feeling great.
No, that took a long time. And honestly, I felt fine while I was on my trip. It's really I came home and like 2 days later, I was like, oh. And now I'm like still sort of in the midst of it. If I look a little extra pale.
No, you look great, but I'm sorry you don't feel great.
Sorry.
That's not a fun way to come back to this.
It's not a fun way.
Mexico City. Give us your top three highlights. Like, tell us.
My hands down and inspiring my next tattoo is I took a tour of Frida Kahlo's neighborhood, like a walking tour. And then we ended at her museum, which is her house where she grew up, which you know, you found it depressing. I found it so inspirational. How she took so much trauma and pain and sadness and lived this insanely amazing life. Insanely amazing. And used it as inspiration. And then a few days before she died, she wrote on one of her paintings, Viva la Vida, which is long live life, meaning she had this like vast appreciation for a life that was in so many ways like a tortured life. But also she had such cool, she did such cool shit. But she wrote Viva la Vida and died 4 days later.
Wow.
Like she was just so, she was able to find the joy in the sadness. And that is goddamn remarkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's amazing.
There's a part in there where they have all her dresses, right?
They had an exhibit. How cool next was that? Yeah. So cool. And also, did you know, my tour guide told us he didn't come in the museum with us. She slept with so many famous people. She slept with
really?
Like, Georgia O'Keeffe, Picasso. Like
I knew she was with Picasso for a long time and it was like
crazy famous people. Trotsky. Yeah. She slept with like all the coolest people.
Let's get it, Frida.
That's what I'm saying. And it was like, you know, a long time ago. Yeah. And her husband, you know, was always macking on other ladies. And then she was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to mack on everyone also then.
Love
even though it was tormented. Woman. Yeah. Right. It was a tormented love. But yeah, I just think I've always been inspired by her. And I was like brought to tears in every area of her house. I just couldn't get over it.
Yeah.
That was by far my favorite.
I found the house you said depressing only because like I think I was like really aware of the energy of like being stuck and trapped in a bed. Like there was parts where they were showing that and I think like that is maybe just such a fear of mine, trappedness, that's my interpretation of it. But I love your experience. Mexico City, guys, we cannot recommend it enough.
It is
one of the coolest
cities
ever.
Agreed. The architecture, the colors, everything is so amazing. Every little like hole in the wall cafe has the most beautiful like tile work.
Totally.
Everything is beautiful.
It's a very creative city.
So creative. No wonder she loved it so much.
Yeah, totally. Well, welcome back. I'm glad you were inspired.
And sadly, I was there. I was closer to the West Coast while you were over here on the East Coast. Two ships passing in the night. Excuse me while I hydrate.
It's okay. You need to.
All right, you got anything for me?
My cringe is that I am operating off of like 3 hours of sleep this morning. My sister, lovely sister, came to town last night because my amazing daughter, this is my delight, is back on stage with a theater company in the production of Lil Shop of Horrors. And
best show.
She had her opening night last night and she was so good. Man, I love watching that kid on stage. I thanked her after. I was like, Reyna, thank you so much. Like watching you perform is such an unexpected gift in my life. I never even thought to dream of, but she's so talented. She's so in it. She so embodies the character. She was so great. Anyway, but the show runs all weekend. My sister is so amazing. She flew in last night so she could see it this weekend and her flight was landing late anyway, but then it got diverted to LA because it was so foggy here. Bean, I'm telling you, I drove to the airport to pick her up because freaking Delta was saying that they were still landing in Santa Barbara and that they hadn't diverted. So by midnight, I was like, I should just go. So I'm driving to the airport at midnight. It was so foggy just getting to the airport. I could not see 5 feet ahead of me.
Oh no.
Right. So I'm like, there's no way this plane is landing. Go sit there for 15 minutes. And then finally some nice lady who was also waiting comes and knocks on my window. She's like, are you waiting for the Delta flight? Yeah, it got diverted to LA. So anyway, come back and just kind of had to stay up and wait for her to land in LA and try to figure out how to get her here to Santa Barbara because it's, you know, at least an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah. How did you?
I rented her a car. She ended up making friends, of course, with someone on the plane and they shared a cab here. So.
Oh, cute.
I know. It was really cute. But I was constantly aware of like, how stressed I was that we were recording this morning and I wasn't getting enough sleep. And I am not a person who can function on less than 7 hours, period. I can just now state that with full transparency. Okay. I think I was trying to be something different. It ain't the case. I need 7+, 9 preferably.
Okay? Plus, I think as you get older, well, for me at least.
No, I think as you get older, you need less sleep.
Oh, that's hell no. I was able to function on like nothing in college. Now I'm like, I need a solid 7 is like pushing it.
But I think always biologically, you need less sleep as you get older. You know what? Let's Google it right now.
You're making that. I feel confident you're making that
up. Do you need less sleep? Oh, look, it's the first thing that comes up on Google. No, what? Adults need about the same amount of sleep as younger adults, which is 7 to 9 hours. Right. Look who's right. Bean is right.
I just feel like tired. Yeah.
Bean, we have a little fun idea for today. And I think this is for our, like, you know, what am I trying to say? My brain's not going to work.
Today. I'll tell it. Your listeners.
Our every week lawyer. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. Yes. Our lawyer, our loyal listeners who listen to the Ainsley episode, which at this point was a few weeks back.
A month or so back.
It was probably a month because we got a lot of people saying, are you guys going to do readings after that episode?
Yeah, we got like, a lot of
yeah, we
people
are.
Signing up for readings with him.
Yeah, so yeah. We did. He was so kind to bump us a little higher because he was such a beautiful guest on this pod. He has such a long wait list, so we were honored to get on. And then we both had some readings. And honestly, I don't feel like we discussed at length either of our readings with one another. Yes.
So we decided instead of call each other and like really go into it, you know, share with your pod family. So we waited and we're going to tell each other about our readings and you guys about our experiences. And I think goal obviously is just to bring you into the conversation with us, but also, you know, there's a lot of, we talk about like healing trauma and ancestral trauma. Ainsley brings a new puzzle piece to it, which is past life trauma and how your past life trauma can cause limiting beliefs in this life. So it completely fits with the theme of, you know, what we're here to talk to you guys about every week. But anyway, who should go first?
I kind of want you to go first so I can see how you do it.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, well, let's see. Full disclosure, this was my third reading with Ainsley. So
third?
Yeah. I had done two a while back, and I talk about in that episode my first, so I won't go into it, but he does, the first thing he does is he reveals your soul age to you. So he had done that for me back in 2017 when I got my first reading with him. And quick overview, Ainsley's view or what he's channeled is that the soul, you know, our entire purpose as a soul is to come back over and over to learn lessons and expand and grow. And that growth he puts into soul ages. So the soul keeps coming back, and the more experiences it has, the older the soul's age is. And so he writes a lot about younger souls and the way they see the world versus older souls and the way that they, you know, what they value in the world and what they're here to do. And in his method or his framework, the soul goes from age, you know, 0 to 10. And then once you're 100% complete through 10, you're sort of done embodying in a body because your soul has completed all of its journeys. And he says, you know, it takes thousands of years to go from 0 to 10. So it's not like every lifetime like 1 year, is one age. Right. You could come back and be a level 3 soul for 8 lifetimes until you've completed those lessons.
Or so, it could be 2 lifetimes. There's no like set number.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, in 2017, I learned that I'm a level 10 that I'm 80% in. So he had told me then, you know, this really can be your last go round if your soul chooses that. And that was like interesting.
That. Shut that your mouth.
No, well, it was interesting to me because I had this really interesting healing experience with another healer once who told me that I have this like deep resentment in my soul where I take everything really personally, which is true. I can take every little, you know that, right?
It's not inaccurate.
I was talking about a designer just now, and I was like, why does she do this to me? And you were like, I think she just missed the...
I think you were pretty. I said, I think she thinks it's pretty.
So I can take things really, really personally. And I had this healer tell me that that comes from my soul's feeling of rejection because I've done so many lifetimes on this planet and I thought I was done. And so embodying in this lifetime, I came in a little like, wait, what the fuck? You sent me back down here? So I had heard that years ago. And then so when he said 80% into 10, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like it really resonated with me. So fast forward to this reading, we talked a lot about, he said that he talks about your soul's purpose and kind of what soul type you are. And I'm a spiritualist and a performer. And so that kind of blend makes sense for someone who's about to launch a book and is going to go out there and give talks. It's like being on stage, being okay and comfortable with commanding the attention to share a very spiritual message, which is right on point. And he's like, you know, what's getting in your way? And this is what he does in his sessions, is look at what are some past life experiences that are blocking your current expression from being fully as, you know, as big as it wants to be. Is in this performance, he's like, you know, performer, you are meant to be noticed. You're meant to be, you know, seen. And you have a fear of that kind of being noticed. That's a soul fear from a past life. And so then he checks in with his spirit guides, and he went into two lifetimes for me. The first was in Scotland, I guess in the late 1800s,
I was going to attempt my Scottish accent, but then I don't Let's have just... one. You know, my accents are... Was that Minnesota? Scotland?
That was really good.
You're probably good at it. You do good accents.
I do good accents if I hear them and then I can repeat them. But I don't do good accents if I... Like right now, if I tried, it would probably sound worse than your Minnesotan.
I don't think it could. I'm sorry. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to add a little magic.
Scotland, 1800s, the daughter of a very well-known surgeon or prominent surgeon.
Hells yeah.
Who was very, very controlling. Oh. And apparently I wanted to be an author in that lifetime. And the dad said that I had to be a nurse. And so he was very controlling of all of the behaviors and actions and anyone that came to the house, like no male suitors allowed. He said that like your hands would tremble a lot in that lifetime. And so that would frustrate your dad. So he'd grab your hands really aggressively to get you to stop. Just a lot of belittling behavior towards this woman. And so she ends up going to get her nursing degree, even though she doesn't want to. She wants to be a writer, and just feels very afraid of who she really is and what she really desires, and feels she can't express herself because she's been so deeply controlled. And he said, you know, do you have a hard time with like being touched? And at first I was like, no, I really like physical affection.
Yeah.
And then I realized only when I initiate it. Like even if someone I really love comes up to me, my first reaction is a little tight.
Wow.
Yeah. I like it, but I was like, oh, my body does get tight. I do understand that.
Weird.
Like, yeah. So anyway, then in this lifetime, she apparently then decides, after she's been a nurse for a while and it's awful and she hates it, she goes to Africa and is like, I guess she goes there for a trip and she loves it there. So she stays.
Right.
And she ends up starting to write there. But then she gets malaria.
Oh, and God dies. Damn it. God damn it. Why Africa, yeah. I wonder, from Scotland?
I don't know.
It's quite a hop, skip, and a jump.
That was a
common
thing in that era when there was, you know, the ability to travel. Yeah, a lot of, well, you know, especially because there was so much British and colonial presence in Africa. There was a lot of, I think, it was popular as an exotic, quote unquote, destination to go to. So anyway, so it's really about also a dream being unfulfilled. So I think what was poignant to me is like, oh, in this lifetime, this soul of mine that desires authorship got to do that. And she got to see that happen.
I love that.
Was the first one.
Wait, and I'm curious. I don't even know if you know this answer. If this issue with being touched then stems from that, then your next lifetime, does it stay with you for through each lifetime or just shows up when it shows up?
That's a good question. He says that as your soul becomes aware of these fears, because I was like, how do I heal this stuff? He's like, your soul just hearing about this experience and recognizing that it's over is part of the completion of that experience. Oh. So that's actually what helps you become a higher soul age, is that you heal and complete the experience and move on. So I'm
going to hug you. No. I'm going to come at you next time I see you in February and hug you without you knowing and see if you recoil.
I think I'll like it.
Okay.
I'm going to decide to like it.
Okay.
Yeah. So then there was another lifetime and he was like, this one's really about your fear of shining And he's like, we got to get rid of that because you need to go out there and do what your purpose is.
You're a star.
To get your message to as many people as possible. So he said that in this lifetime, I was in Spain, also a young girl, I think early 1900s now. And he said that I was off with a couple of friends as like a teenager, two boys, exploring some old castle. And again, content warning here, this is disturbing because it's about sexual assault, but that the two boys I was with, one of them I really liked and trusted, they kind of lured me into this space and both raped this girl in this lifetime and then left her there and ran away. And then she ran home and told her father. Her father confronted them. They completely denied it. The whole community basically ostracized her and told her she was lying. So she came up with this belief system in herself that hiding is safer. So she just dressed really frumpily. She just carried herself very smallly. She became a secretary and went to the big city of Madrid and just like lived this very, very small life with this idea that she needed to hide to be safe. And so part of my soul's fear of shining is this idea that it's not safe to shine. And so we worked a lot on my soul being able to kind of heal that story and move on from that idea, that limiting belief that it's not safe.
How do you work on that?
Like, again, you know, a lot of it is just talking about it, having your soul recognize that that was a past lifetime. You are in a new lifetime. Also, being very deliberate about registering and saying, this is what I want in this lifetime. I am safe in this lifetime to shine. This is part of my soul's purpose. And being deliberate on that soul's purpose path for me is really motivating, because it's like, if this is why I am here, then I have to do it. There's nothing that's going to stop me from doing it. So that empowering sense of understanding the purpose behind it and making that purpose be louder than the fear.
Do it. Do it. I believe in you. Yeah. Go to YouTube. We are dancing. Yeah. 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 We are good dancers. Okay.
Not really. So those were mine. And I think I left the conversation at least at first one really sad, because it was really heavy. Yeah. Both lifetimes and being, you know, just like so much oppression. It really made me think of like, God, the oppression that women have faced for thousands of years, and how when you have that and as part of your energy body and your soul body, it's just so fascinating how you might still be consternating on that or afraid of those experiences. Yeah. And especially for those people who don't believe in reincarnation or past lives, like, you know, I do. And so like, if indeed it is true, what a missing puzzle piece for so many people not to get to think about past life experiences or hear about past life experiences and therefore have their soul be freed of, oh, that was a past life. It's not this current incarnation.
You should go over with him your fear of water.
Sharks.
Water. I'm trying to Sharks. Teach myself. Sharks. Yeah.
You should. He mentioned it to me in my first. He mentioned it to TJ in TJ's first reading.
Oh,
did I tell
TJ?
You that?
No.
TJ had a reading back in 2017 TJ. When it was life-changing too.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
I didn't hear about that.
TJ that he was in the last lifetime that's relevant to his fear. The woman in the relationship, I was the man. I went off to war. I was in the Navy.
Oh, no.
The ship sank. And so he ended up like in that lifetime feeling very suddenly like abandoned and became agoraphobic and wouldn't leave the apartment.
Buddy. Yeah.
So I think the shark attack happened.
Oh no.
Then.
Wait, for you or for him? He doesn't
for
actually.
Me.
Yeah.
No, but
that's your shark.
I'm saying he described the way I would have gone out.
I got it.
That's
That's Troms.
Troms. Okay, enough about me. I'm dying to hear. This was your first reading.
This
so I think
my
that's
first
more
reading. Yeah.
I think that's a little more like, whoa.
I think this was more like baseline, actually. I'm now that you said yours, I do want to book another session. And I do know once you get your first session, I think you don't have to wait as long for your next session.
Oh, good to know.
Maybe I do kind of want to do another one, because this one I feel like was more mostly informational about me, more than going into past lives. He did address one past life in particular, but you only have an hour. And I had like 76 questions and there's only so much you can do.
Methodically.
And he does. And he checks in with his guides a decent amount. He, there's like a pause while he's checking in. I will say he was so gracious though. He did like, I had like 80 questions that I set up front and he let me run a little over time because we like, there was just so much to fill in. Anyway, so I'm curious if you know about this. So you were the spiritualist and performer, but he gave me 6 soul types.
Okay.
But I don't know. Now I'm thinking, did I misunderstand?
No. Like- he did give me, there's primary, there's 2 or 3 primary, and there's 2 or 3 secondary. So he probably gave you all of them. Like one of mine is authority, which is where author comes from. Like, so there's other ones too.
All right. So I'm going to, I like wrote it out. So I'm just going to kind of bang out everything he said about me. I'm spiritualist, which is, he said that almost anyone who comes to him is a spiritualist. And truth talk, I still, as with everything else, am never confident about past. Yeah. I never know where I fall. When he says this shit, everything he said here, I was like, God damn, he must be right. Spiritualist, so I'm always looking for a higher purpose and meaning, which definitely lines up with where I am right now. But he said it also shows I need to tap into my masculine energy, learning to use my authority and learning to be empowered.
Yes.
Which is definitely something I struggle with. I'm always like, tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Yeah.
But that's the way I'll really fulfill my own potential is by tapping into my own power, which I have not been doing.
Yeah.
And then strangely, he gave me the leader soul type. But I don't ever feel like a leader. I always feel like not in like a baby, like a, I don't know how to do anything way. Just in, I typically am like, you pick and I'll just come. Yes, Maury, I call on you.
Can I give a best friend's perspective on why that's not true? I think that when you're in a dynamic, you very naturally set the tone of what's happening in that room, in that space. Yes, totally. I think in a way you don't realize we just follow you in a great way. I'm saying this in a great way. It's like you sort of decide what the energy, what the tone is going to be, and we follow it.
You do? Yeah. I feel like I follow your tone, but all right, I'll take it.
No. Very different than me saying we should go to this restaurant.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. But I mean in a bigger way. Like I mean, I don't know how else to say it other than you set the tone. You set the vibe.
Wow. All right. I don't mind that. I hope I set a good vibe.
Like notice if you're not in a good headspace, for example. Like remember when you came here and you and I had our little tiff?
Yeah.
And then we had that day.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to like lead us in a different direction. It was like, that was the tone. You set the tone.
Yeah. But that was like a really unusual situation because you and I never argue. And when we did have an argument, it really threw us both.
Yeah. Yeah. I just mean your energy sets the energy.
All right. I don't know how I feel, but all right. But he did say, even though I am leader, I won't get involved unless I know the path. Which is super accurate.
So true.
I do not like things that I don't know about. I'll just follow someone else's lead if I don't know what's up. If I know what's up, it's true. I feel like I can take more control.
Yeah.
I'm a creator type, which makes sense to me. Sensitive, intuitive, which I'm still unsure of my level of intuition. He did say, though, in his book, because I went back and read in his book the instruction – and matched up what he said about me with what he says in the book about those types. And that's 1 foot in this plane and 1 in the next, which can give them a sense of not quite belonging to this world, which sometimes I do feel that way. Like I feel like I'm in some other in-between state. Oh, I forgot to say I'm 50% into level 10, which he did share on our pod. So I am also halfway through, but he did say, and this does sit right with me, even knowing you being 80% of the way, is that I can fit in better with younger souls than other level 10s. That a lot of level 10s just don't have like, they're either too artistic and out there and like woohoo, or they don't have the patience to deal with any like younger, right? Like you, and I'm a little more like, okay, I can see, I can handle this and that and that. So I was like, I agree. Yes.
And he said in our podcast when he came on about you, that part of your purpose in being a spiritualist is to be cynical about the spiritual truths so that you can investigate them and find them to be true for yourself.
Ainsley, I really adore you, but I even went in after and was like, started Googling like Ainsley negative reviews because I cannot help myself. I want to see like,
yeah,
something seems so accurate, but then yeah. I'm like, how? And he truly yeah. doesn't ask any information up front.
Nope. Yeah.
And then I'm a think anyway, back to my type. So I'm spiritualist, leader, creator, thinker. He kept calling me a lifelong learner, which he said in our pod a bunch. Yeah. He said this podcast alone is evidence of that.
Yeah.
I'm an educator. I like to stick to subjects that I know well, though. And he said I'm a performer, but not in the typical sense. This was lower down in that I should be more mindful of not going into my default mode of internalizing my problems, which is pretty accurate for me. Like I need to wow. put it out there more and that's the performer sense, he said.
Interesting.
Is more in line with me. And I do bottle a lot of things up. I vocalize. Oh, yeah. Think? But it's just most of my life, it's just been easier for me to just like shut it down and keep going.
Yeah.
Just keep swimming. That's all just I keep doing. But it's given me pause for sure. Yeah. A couple other cool things he said was, which were super accurate, like, and a weird thing to be able to gauge if you don't know somebody, is that I have a deep need to recharge on my own, yet I have this mission of connection, he called it. So it's this weird juxtaposition for me, which is true. I need my alone time. Like I have to recharge on my own, but I do, like, I also need connect. I need both.
Yeah.
Very much so. Very and I guess true. A lot of people need one or the other. Like they prefer to be alone or they prefer to be with people. And I have this yeah. weird, I just recharge alone and then yeah. I'm ready to be with everyone, which yeah. was an very interesting true. Observation. Yeah. That doesn't yeah. apply to everybody. If anyone else out there is feeling doubtful, I have a need for exercise and he suggested martial arts, which I have never Ooh. Thought of exploring, but he said that that might be really good for my soul. So I might, and he also said, and this is, he's like the fifth person healer to say, I need to be writing. Like I need to be writing to process feelings and I'm not doing it. And for some reason I do have like a wall up with that. I don't know why.
I got this gift called the 3-question journal. I'm going to get it for you. And it's right okay. by my bedside. And you're supposed to wake up and answer the 3 questions in the morning. And then before you go to bed, you just journal the 3 questions. And it's a really good reminder for me to just write a little bit.
So I had a psychic who made me. She made me do yeah. like gratitude, intention,
yeah.
and something else every day. And I did. I stuck with it for a while, but then it felt like a chore. And I was like, this isn't supposed I know, to feel that's like a the chore. Problem. Yeah, right. but I don't, right? That's not processing if it feels like a chore.
100%.
Anyway, all right, let's get into the good stuff. My past life. He only gave me one. I don't know why. Oh, yeah. he touched on another one, but he gave me one. It was earlier in the 20th century. I was born and raised in Quebec. I was married
Quebec.
To a Quebec. I was married to a mining company executive and we lived a really fancy, sophisticated life. Like we were out at the opera all the time and we were always at social events and doing all these ritzy things. And then
wait, sorry, what time period?
Early 20th century, it seems.
Got it. Okay.
That's what he said. Earlier okay. in the 20th century. Okay. And then all of a sudden for work, my mining exec husband had to move us to Labrador, which is in Newfoundland, which is like in the middle of nowhere. It's really beautiful, yeah. but there's nothing to do. And I got insanely bored and I started feeling really alone and really Uh-oh. Isolated. And then I was like desperate to go back out and socialize and have this life that I had. And I was feeling like ineffective and like I wasn't giving back in any way. And then I started to develop a deep hatred towards my husband and I started drinking a lot and I just Whoa. Didn't want to live anymore. I don't think there were children in the picture because he never mentioned them. And then I just didn't want to live anymore. So I stopped eating because I didn't want to live and I just drank myself to death.
Because you were bored?
I was bored and resentful and felt like I had no purpose.
Oh my God. So what fear in this current lifetime is that representing?
I think obstacle. For me, a feeling of being trapped, which applies to a lot of things, which is probably why I'm always looking to like have more fun. I'm always like, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's go here. Let's do this because yeah, I just yeah, yeah. want to never feel stuck.
Yeah. What are you like doing with this information or have you noticed any like, I don't know, shift or
I haven't. Thoughts? No, I felt the most I got from it that I took away from it. One was that this is like the 8th person to tell me I need to be writing to process my emotions. So I really want to focus on it, but it just immediately put my wall up even higher for some reason.
Yeah.
And that I felt like a energy clearing after I got off with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you can't explain it. You just feel lighter. I don't know if it's your soul's recognition. I don't know if it's addressing something deep within you that you have been putting off. I don't know. Oh, and another really cute thing. He said that me and my son, who I knew was coming before he was born, have been together in a bunch of lifetimes. And we were married in one lifetime. And he was like, in a non-creepy way. I was like, no. And in another lifetime, we were business partners and we had an art gallery in New York together. And he said that the translation of all of this means that he will always have my back. Like he'll always be looking out for me.
So true. The way that this kid looks at you with like hearts in his eyes, I buy completely. Yeah. Like you two are, totally intertwined. 100%.
Like in a very non-creepy way, like he'll always be supportive of me and check in on me and stuff, which is lovely to hear, especially about a son who you sometimes wonder if they'll go further away.
Yeah. That's really sweet. Yeah, I think what you said is so great, which is even if it's just noticing a slight clearing or relief, it feels like a breath of fresh air to do this and hear these things. Because I think even if your cynical mind can't hold it, there's a way your soul is registering it.
That's what I hope.
That is so intangible, but so profoundly transformative.
I had a session with you once too, where you took me somewhere where I was like in a castle and that was the same thing. I felt like some sense of clearing after visiting some other life of mine or some other aspect of my soul, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. I magicked you.
You magicked me. Ainsley magicked me. I'm all for it. I want to keep getting all magicked up.
It's so worth it.
With each one, it kind of feels like a little chiseling away at something, like a hardening of your soul or something. It feels like it's just kind of knocking it all away. I didn't have like this one transformative moment with any healer I've seen, but each one I feel like provides me with a little bit of something.
Yeah. No, it really feels like a coming back home to yourself when you do this work. And like all of the puzzle pieces fitting together and just understanding the bigger picture, the bigger context, the purpose of it all.
Yeah.
You know, which takes you out of the minutiae, the stress of the moment, you know, it like really zooms you out to like, oh God, this is a much bigger journey. Right. And maybe I don't take this week or this month or this year so personally.
And most people don't ever spend an hour with somebody talking to them about their personality traits, like nonstop. So even if you're just doing it from that perspective, it gives you a moment to think about yourself from somebody else's eyes.
Yeah. Okay, so I think our review is highly recommend if you can get on his on his schedule, and he is pretty expensive, so we understand that it can be cost prohibitive. But there's other ways to explore your past lives. There's so many resources, books, videos. Like, it just, I don't know. I think get interested in it. Start to see if anything inside you stirs when you read about this stuff.
I totally agree. He's also just a lovely man. Just like a nice guy.
100%. Yeah, totally. Well, Beanerine, that was really great. I'm glad we saved it so we could share with our listeners.
Me too.
And guys, thank you for listening this week. And we will be back again next week with a new episode. And until then, have a great week. Thanks, guys. Bye. This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Gushka, and is edited by our sound editor, Josie Barak. Stay tuned next week for another episode.